Good morning. This indeed is a special occasion. And I thank my wife and Nikki for letting me know today is Palm Sunday. You know, they keep changing as the years go by, it keeps changing from when it happens. Sometimes it's in March and sometimes it's in April. But in any case, I am very glad that I am here. Verses from that, starting at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food and with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gracious mercy. We thank you, O God, for throwing your arms of love around us and making us feel love. This morning, O God, as your word goes forward, let this vessel that you're using not be seen, but be hidden behind you, and that the words that proceed out of my mouth will come directly from you. And I pray, O God, that each heart will get what it needs to go forward from this point forward. We give you praise in Jesus' precious and most holy name. Amen. If you have not detected the theme of this message, it's complete fellowship. As Christ's followers, we must show to the world. How do we do this? It's simple, but it's very hard. Follow me as I go through. Three words stuck out to me as I read this. The first one was steadfast. We've read that many times. I don't know how many of us ever looked into it, but I took the time to look into it and look at what steadfast means. It means firm, immovable, loyal, with determination. That is typifying the saints of that day. They were steadfast. They were immovable. They were firm in their belief. Doctrine, a principle or position or body of principles known, knowledge or system of belief. There was a system of belief that they had, because this particular event that we're talking about here took place at Pentecost. And they were there and they heard and they believed. This is a message that goes to those who have not accepted Christ as their personal Savior. What does that mean? You are not part of the fellowship of God. Now, people will try to deceive you and tell you we're all God's children. I'm here to tell you, the Word of God does not say that. He says that we're all his creation. And if you go into Genesis, you'll see that God created man. However, in John 1:12, it says, those who are children of God believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's not your belief, you're a creation, but you're not a child. There's a difference. And I chose also to look at the third word, fellowship. And this is what's important about that last statement. Because fellowship is a community of interests. The state of being a fellow or an associate, a company of equals. If you do not know Christ, you're not equal. You're on shaky ground. As I looked at this and I pursued to look at this, what does fellowship entail? It means a closeness. It's a brotherhood. And when I looked at that and I said, what's some of the synonyms for this fellowship? Brotherhood was one. Now, we know in the Bible, we have seen instances of brothers not doing nice things to their brother. Okay? But in the fellowship of Christ, it's not so. You see, I look at it like this. We should be concerned about our brother and our sister. I'm saying brother, but understand I'm talking about both, brother and sister. And I'm going to say this to you to do right now. You're not going to have to stand up, but I want you to look to your left and to your right and to behind you to see if there's someone in this congregation, in this hall, apart from those who are visiting for the first time, that's part of this fellowship that you don't know their name. I see a few people are doing it. Some are scared to do it because they might see too many people they don't know. I'm going to confess to you, there are individuals here who I've seen Sunday after Sunday and I don't know their name. But I have purposed in my heart to find out what their name is. There are some individuals that I don't have a number for, and I'm purposing in my heart to get a number. Why? Because if there's a brother or sister that I have not seen for 2 or 3 weeks, I need to know what's up. Why? Because they're part of the fellowship. It's my responsibility to do that. Why? Because Christ says, now here comes the hard part, is that if you love me, now get that? If you love him, what do you have to do? Love one another. That's the new commandment that overrides the others. Because if we don't love those who are part of our fellowship, do we really love him? We must ask that question of ourselves. Now, I'm not going to be long because there's not much for me to say other than to get you to think about each other. And I know from time to time we have our favorites that we call. And usually, yeah, I heard an agreement in there. You know where I'm going? But we usually talk about each other. That's not what the call is for. Not to gossip, not to carry tales or rumors, but to find out how you're doing. Does that make sense to you? Do you think the Lord would want us to know how we're doing? Now, I'm not saying he's telling you to sell your stuff, because we got some stuff we don't want to sell. But he is letting us know the example that was set by the early church for us to follow is that there was a concern for our brother and sister. Now, I want you to understand there are other groups out there who are doing it a little bit better than us from the outside. It looks that way. I don't know what's happening on the inside. But for us who are here on the inside, it should be so evident that when people pass by and they see the care we have for one another, they want to know, who are those people? How can I get into a relationship like that? Because that is ministering to the world that we are followers of Christ. And I want to make a distinction here because it's very important for us to understand this. We call ourselves a Christian nation, or I should say, it's been said of us as being a Christian nation. That is a fallacy. Why do I say that? Because if you are not following Christ, then you cannot be a Christian. So instead of saying that we are a Christian nation, that's okay for them to say. But within that Christian nation, I am a follower of Christ. Do you see the distinction in there? Because if I'm a follower of Christ, I show love for my brother and sister. I have the desire to know how you're doing. And you see, today, when we're talking about this, there are individuals that at certain periods in our calendar, that individuals feel completely isolated and alone. And as a result of that, they take matters into their own hand. And usually it's one of several different ways. Drugs, alcohol, suicide, cutting, piercings, tattoos. I know I'm stepping on some toes, but that's okay. If it hurts, you know that what Christ wants you to do is to be a brother, be a sister. Find out how your brothers and sisters are doing. We need to shed the grave clothes of selfishness. That's a hard thing to do because we like to look at ourselves. We have gotten to become more selfish now than ever before. How do I know that? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many have a Facebook account, a TikTok account, a Pinterest account? There are more, I don't even know what they are, but you have all these accounts. And not only that, you're on them. You have more pictures of yourself than anything else. You know, it's funny, on our way here this morning, my wife said to me, do we have a lot of pictures of ourselves? And I said, no. And then she said to me, is it because we don't go anyplace? I said, yeah. But that's not necessarily true. I just don't find the time. I'll take pictures of other people, and many people know that. I have thousands of pictures in my basement that I've taken over the years, not videos as well of various programs that we've done here. I have over 3,000 photos on my camera alone, on my phone alone. Keeps on telling me storage is full, storage is full. But there are things sometimes I want to remember. We want to remember our Lord by loving our brother and sisters. That's how we remember him. As we look at John 13 and 35, what does it say there? By this, all will know that you are my disciples. If you, what? Love one another. The world is falling short of love. There is no love for our fellow man because of what they do, the way they do it. But if we show love for one another, they realize where love is. And where love is, they will find comfort and peace. In John 14, 15, it says this. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, if he only gave one commandment, and that was to love, is that hard to do? You see, it is hard to do because if you go back to Genesis, again, one request was made. Do not eat of that tree. The whole garden was there for them to have. But that one tree was made to be the tempter for them to disobey. Here it is. What was it? My commandment, which was love one another. Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. It's hard. But if we apply ourselves as the Lord asks us to, it doesn't become that hard. In chapter 15 of John, verse 12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Whoa. That's a hard one right there. How did Christ love us? How did Christ love us? Sacrificially, he gave his life. Wow. Is there someone here you're willing to give your life for? And it's hard. You say, oh, yeah, well, I'll give it for my wife. And then some say, well, I'm not too sure I'll give it for my wife, but maybe. Okay. But he said, as I have loved you. That's right there an example. How do we do it? We have to love one another as he has loved us. And greater love has no one than this, than to what? Lay down one's life for his friends. And mind you, it says here friends, but if we're part of the fellowship, we're talking about brothers and sisters. That's even deeper. It's funny because as I talked about this and I mentioned before brotherhood, you know what came to my mind? Fraternal organizations. They're brotherhoods and sisterhoods. And they look out for each other. If a brother says that, listen, I need a job, you know what? They go on the phone, the network is in action. The network is in action. That brother's going to have a job. That sister will have a job. It may not be in the field that they want, but they make sure that they look out for that brother, that sister. Can we do that? Should we do that? It's a requirement of us because the Lord loved us to death. As we continue in this, we look at Philippians. Yes. And that one was special. Philippians 2 in verse 1. And what it says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. If there's any, let us do it to our brother and sister. One more. 1 John 1. And just have two more verses to go with you. There. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That which we have seen. Question. Have they seen fellowship amongst us? Have they seen love amongst us? And it's important for us to be able to answer these questions honestly. We need to make an effort to be able to show forth the love that Christ showed to us. And that which we have heard from his apostles and disciples, which is written here in the Word. Also, if you continue with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. And God is faithful, by whom you were called into a fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We were called into fellowship with Jesus Christ. That makes it a very big responsibility, because if we were called into the fellowship, Jesus Christ embraced us. Even before we became a child of God, so that we could now have a place at the table. And in order for us to be in that fellowship with him, we need to bring in those who are outside. And the only way that can happen is if they see the love that we have for one another. I'm not going to prolong this, but one thing I know, we must strive to achieve this level of fellowship and brotherhood, because it typifies what Christ wants us to show to the world. And if we don't do that, then we have to question, are we in fellowship with him? Is he truly our brother? In closing, let me look at Romans chapter 13, verse 8. And it says there, if I may, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has what? Fulfilled the law. And when you look at it, if we go to look at the law, if by doing loving one another, we fulfill the law, you know what that means? We're not going to lie. We're not going to cheat on them. We're not going to, and this is important, we're not going to be worshiping idols. Why? Because if you look at the law, which is our guidepost, okay, through love, we will avoid those things which are disdain to God. So therefore, let us strive to do that. I admit it's not going to be easy, but nothing that is of value comes easy. So this morning, when we leave here, here's the homework I have for you. You may not see me again next week because you won't be here or whatever. You're traveling someplace else, but here's the homework. for you. And it's not necessarily to come back and say, well, you know, Brother Greenwich, I did this. No. The homework is find somebody that you do not know by name and find out their name. Get a number. Give them a call. I'm not telling you to go visit anybody because, you know, COVID is around. Everybody's going like, mask up, okay? Some people are still wearing face shields, okay? But you can make a phone call and you can find out how your brother or your sister is doing. That's what the Lord requires of us. Now, here's my wrap up. To those individuals who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and as our soloist mentioned this morning, which was very, very important and very on time, because it shows how fickle we are as people. On a Sunday morning like this, he rode into Jerusalem. And they took apart trees. They took their clothes and they threw on the ground. You don't understand what that meant. Because doing that, you're saying, we idolize this man. We worship this man because he is the top shelf. It was a customary thing of when Roman centurions would come back from battle. They were greeted in the city by cheers of ripping down branches and pulling up garments and throwing them before them so that their horses and chariots did not even touch the ground. But a mere 7 days, and the tune went from Hosanna to crucify. 7 days. And I'm saying 7 days, which is a lot, but somewhere between that Sunday and that Friday, tide turned. And they no longer were hailing him because he didn't represent what they wanted. And that's the difference. Today, we will receive that same treatment if we do what he did or what he does. We will be rebuked as well. If you look at the climate of our city and our state and our nation, we idolize villains. We lift them up. And are you ready for this? We put them in office. Mm-hmm. Think about it. That happens because we no longer are the ones that they want to emulate. They don't want our prayers in the school, but they will accept guns and knives in the school. They don't want the word of God, but they will teach your children that Sally can have two mommies and two daddies. And be careful who you say that to, because they will take offense. I'm going to give you an example of how proud this world is of that. I was in the grocery store the other day, and the cashier was there, and you know, I like to have nice conversation with them. So I saw there was a bandage on her neck. So I said, oh, you got to tell your boyfriend not to, you know, do that to her, because then, you know, you'd be seen. She goes, you mean my girlfriend? And you know, the first time she said it, I didn't pay any attention. I said, you know, tell your boyfriend. She says, no, my girlfriend. So I said, yeah, okay. And I bagged up my bag and I came on out. The point was, she wanted to get a rise out of me to chastise her for being the way she was. But no, I'm not going to chastise you for that. But I want to tell you that right now, you might have that as an idea, but that's not what God has for you. You see, and we have to be prepared to let individuals know that if you feel like you're going that way, God has an answer for you. He says, I love you, but what you're doing is not what I had in mind for you. And when we look in Genesis, we see that. What does it say? He created man and woman, created he them. But the command that he gave to them was go forth, be fruitful and multiply. Can any one of those situations which you are embracing can be fruitful and multiply? No. God is not an author of confusion or delusion. He wants you to know, I love you and I have made you in a way that you can be happy. So this afternoon, again, I say, look around. Is there somebody that you don't know? You'd like to get their name and keep in contact with them. One does it, two do it, three do it. Next thing you know, we begin to talk to everybody. And we know. Heavenly Father, we ask that all that was said, Lord, that you have endorsed. We ask, oh God, that those who are among us that have not accepted you yet may seek to want to become part of a brotherhood, a sisterhood, a fellowship, oh God, that has order and that has comfort and above all has love. So I ask, oh God, that you would touch each heart here today and that each of us would make at least one new friend. So that as we go forward, your fellowship becomes greater and stronger and will become a defining effect in this community. Lord, we commit ourselves to you and that you would guide us. In Jesus' precious and most holy name, amen.